scriptures today and the message that the Lord has put upon my heart. And believe me, I knew nothing about your church. I know nothing about the background. I know you're 50 years old in the Lord here in this church. And thank God. God bless you for that. You've been faithful to this community over these years. That in itself speaks volumes about who you are and what you've been doing. We are just so delighted that you are maintaining the cause, holding up the torch of salvation to a lost and dying world. We're thankful that you've stayed by the stuff, that you've been faithful to the Word of God. And so, not knowing the congregation, not knowing what your needs are, I know you're without a pastor, I know you're praying for a pastor, and I trust God will soon give you the man of God of His choosing, and I want you to know that Barbara and I will be praying with you in that, and these folks that we've introduced you to this morning will be praying with you about that as well, that God will give you the man of God. He has somebody there for you, amen? You have to believe that, and He'll bring just the right person at just the right time to meet the needs that you have as a congregation. Amen. But in praying about what I share with you, there's a message that I've preached before that really speaks to my heart. I have three messages, in fact. Normally, I have preached these in missions conferences, but this one message I want to share with you this morning is something that not just missionaries need, we all need. And it's entitled, You and Your God. Another message along that same line is, You and Your Family, and then You and Your Ministry. But without God being in the right place in our life, our families aren't going to be what they ought to be, and our ministry isn't going to be what it ought to be. Do you understand that? We must understand that our relationship with God Himself is what determines the relationships that we have with one another and with other people that we come in contact with, wherever we may be as God's people. So 1 John chapter 1, if you would please. I want to begin reading in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. Just two little verses, but we're going to take off from those two little verses, and I trust God will give us a blessing as we seek His will. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I like that last phrase, because that last phrase says that when I am in right relationship with Jesus Christ and with God the Father, I'm going to have fullness of joy. I really believe that many Christians are really not joyful today because they're not in fellowship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. You cannot be out of the will of God and out of fellowship with God and have the joy of the Lord. It's an impossibility. The joy of the Lord comes by sitting at Jesus' feet, by being in the Word of God. Amen? Let's pray. Before we pray, I want to ask you to do this. We're only going to be together today and tonight. We've already had a wonderful time in Sunday school. That was such a blessing to be able to speak to you and share with you what God put on my heart about that. The world, the flesh, and the devil, and how we're victorious Christians. We can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. But as we come this morning and tonight, let's ask God to do something so great in our hearts that only He gets the glory. We're not here to the praise of men. We're here to the praise of God. Amen? Amen? Yes. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we know that without you, we are absolutely nothing. And so we come in Jesus' name thanking you that we come in the power of the Spirit of God. We come with dependence upon the Spirit of God. We come, Lord, asking you to anoint us as preacher and hearer alike. That Father, you'd open our hearts and our minds and our soul and our spirit to what your Word wants us to receive, what your Spirit wants us to receive. And that Father, you do something so great in our midst today, that you alone would get the glory and you alone would be seen. We pray you'll take this brief message to speak to our hearts and challenge us about living godly in Christ Jesus, about being in a right relationship so everything else is right before you. And we give praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. A recent poll tells us that only 10% of all professing Christians across Christianity, this is evangelicalism, new evangelicalism, anybody who professes to be a Christian, only 10% have a daily quiet time, spending time with the Lord. I hope that's you're not in one of those 90% trial areas, but you're one of the 10%. It goes on to say only 5% have ever read the Bible through one time. How many times have you read the Bible through in your Christian life? Any time? Ever done it once? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I remember going to a man that I worked for one time, and I did work for him. I didn't work with him. I worked for him. I was his assistant youth pastor, and I asked him one day, I said, Pastor, how many times have you read through the Bible? I thought I'd get a really great answer. because he was a powerful man. He had a lot of influence. He was a great administrator, good preacher, by the way, and I enjoyed working for him. But when I asked him that question, he said, well, I've never done that. And I'm going, my pastor has never read through the Bible one time. I couldn't believe it. I was stunned. I went out of that experience really kind of dumbfounded. Why is it that he is a preacher of the word and he has a great ability to preach, but he's never read the Bible one time? You know, that's like a doctor wanting to perform heart surgery on you. And you say, what was the last textbook you ever studied, doc? Well, let's see, I think it was about 1920. I don't think I want to operate on me, would you? No, not today. No, look, if you're not a child that's in the book, if you're not a child of God in the Word of God, you'll never understand what it is about the mind of God and how God wants you to live and what kind of relationship God wants you to have. I believe this, that everything in our society, in our world, if you will, this atmosphere that we live in, God has kept in control because everything is in right relationship with each and every other thing. If God was to take his hand off of all that's in this world today, it would explode. I believe God's in control of our universe. I don't worry about these climate issues everybody talks about. You know, I don't worry about that because God's in control of that. And I'll tell you what, they'll quit worrying about when God takes his hand off it because there's going to be a puff of smoke. That's after we're gone, by the way, and come back and establish a new world. Amen. But when we think about what it means to be in right relationship, I think there's something that's even far more important, and that's about our relationship with one another, so that we have a right relationship with each other, whether it's husband and wife, parents and children, friends with friends, brothers and sisters, whatever the case may be, that we have a right relationship that only comes as a result of having a right relationship with God first of all. When I look at this scripture in front of us this morning, John is speaking to young believers. And he's saying to them, look, you have to understand something. There are all kinds of philosophies outside the body of Christ that are going to try to influence your mind and change your heart relationship with the Lord. In this particular case, they were called Gnostics. Gnostics did not believe that a person had to get saved because they believed that the body, the throwaway part, was the nasty part of man, but the soul and the spirit were the spiritual part of man, and therefore they were saved. But John is saying to them, no, you don't understand. You have to come to a personal understanding, a believing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to get to heaven. Jesus made it very clear in John 14:6, I alone am the way. I alone am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but me. I'm the only way for a person to get to heaven through Jesus Christ. Not through the church membership, not through baptism, not through catechism, not through confirmation, not through good works, not by being a good philanthropist, by coming to the cross of Calvary and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's how you get to heaven. There's no other way. You'll never have a right relationship with God that doesn't begin with salvation. But as we look at this text this morning, we realize that John is talking to Christians while he's challenging the Gnostics. He says to the Gnostics, you don't understand what we're talking about because you've never seen him, you've never heard him, you've never touched him. But we have. So that brings us to the 21st century. Have you ever seen Jesus? Have you ever touched him? Have you ever heard him? And the truth of the matter is, most of us say, no, well, we never have. We've never seen Jesus. We've never touched him. We've never really heard him. But I've kind of thrown you a curveball when you're looking for a fastball, because the truth of the matter is, if you're in the Bible every day, you will see him, you will be touched by him, and you will hear from him. Amen? I mean, this is the living Word of God. Do you believe that? I mean, this is the written Word of God. And he is being presented, the living Word of God is being presented to you and to me in this written Word of God. So if we want to have a right relationship with God the Father and with one another, we must have a right relationship with God and His Spirit through personal quiet time. So that's why we're talking about you and your God. What is your relationship with this God that you identify as your Heavenly Father? When was the last time you saw Him? Believe me, if you've been in the Word of God, you should see God, because He reveals Himself time after time after time. Would you agree with that? Amen? He reveals himself to us. When was the last time you heard from him? Well, again, if you're in the scriptures and you have your own personal quiet time, you're going to hear from him time and time and time again. I remember I'm president of an organization out way out in Utah. It's a Christian dude ranch, believe it or not. It's quite an interesting place. I love being there because I like to ride horses, and we've done some cattle drives, and we brand cattle, and we round up cattle, and we teach kids how to break broncs, and we teach kids how to lasso, all kinds of different stuff. And of course, you introduce them to Jesus Christ. Haven't been there for a while, but I love going there. And as we've been in that particular position, one of the things that we're trying to teach these young people is to listen to what God has to say to them regarding their relationship with the Lord, so they can be in a proper relationship with each other, with mom and dad. Many times we have young people who come who are not in a right relationship with their parents, but God's able to change that. And so we take the gospel, and it's Mormon country, by the way, and we use horses to reach Mormons with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's been a powerful tool to see people come to know Him, whom to know is life everlasting. So we have this concept that we want to have order in the world, but unless we are in a right relationship with God in our own personal lives, we will not have order in our world. So what have you seen of Him? What have you heard of Him? Have you touched Him lately? Well, of course, we know that we can't physically touch Him, but let's ask this question then. Has He touched you lately? Has He touched you lately? Because I believe it's extremely important that God's Spirit touches us on a regular basis as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God created man for fellowship. When God created Adam and Eve, He didn't just create them and put them in the Garden of Eden and abandon them. He created them for fellowship. We know that's true because the Bible tells us that in the cool of the day, God came down to spend time with Adam and Eve. He said, Adam, one day down, coming down looking for him, Adam, where are you? I don't see you anywhere. Rhetorical question, by the way. God knows all things. He knew where Adam was. And Adam said, well, Lord, we're over here. Well, what are you doing over there, Adam? Well, we're hiding. Well, why are you hiding behind those bushes? Well, we're ashamed. Well, why are you ashamed? Because we're naked. You see, when man got his eyes off of God, he began to look at self. And that's the condition the world has been in ever since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We've gone from being God-oriented to being self-oriented. We find it in our world today, but unfortunately we find it in our churches. In fact, it could be right here in this church. If it's not careful, it could be in my life, be in your life. We get so absorbed with ourself that we forget who we belong to. And so this portion of Scripture reminds us that we are to get back to making God the center of our lives. Because as you and I spend time with our God, then we'll know our relationship with our God will be right. When that relationship is right, then every other relationship is right as well. For example, if there's trouble in the home, I can guarantee you somebody's out of the will of God. Guaranteed. Somebody's out of the will of God. Maybe everybody, but somebody's out of the will of God. When there's trouble in the church, somebody is out of the will of God. No problems come into a church when the people that are in the church are wanting the Holy Spirit to lead each and every one of them to do the right thing before God. You don't have a problem in a church like that. Not with the Holy Spirit's in control. You only have problems in a church, in a home, in a personal life when we walk away from the power of the Spirit of God and the leading of the Spirit of God and walk in our flesh. So there's something that we need to come back and take a look at. So in everything, after we get saved, if we know Christ as our Savior, and everything from thenceforward, if we want to have a right relationship with one another, we must be in a right relationship with God. Consider what John is saying about this scripture in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. First of all, what's the basis of true fellowship with the Father and with His Son? John says it's this: we have seen. We have seen. Have you seen the Lord in your life? Have you seen Jesus Christ at Calvary? Have you come to the place where you said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and save me. Have you come to the place where you said, I'm hopeless and I'm helpless spiritually, and there's no possible way for me to go before the presence of God except I come to the cross? Have you been there? Because until you get there, you will never know what it is to see God. Because as Jesus said when He spoke to His disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. That comes out of our fellowship. So when we get together, we're alone with God, by the way, we get with God and we see what God has for us. Now, one of the reasons I believe that so few Christians have a quiet time is because they don't like to be alone with God and have God point out their sin. Think about that. That's tough, isn't it? I started to tell you about being in this camp out in Utah, and I was having my quiet time one morning. And I consistently was reading through the scriptures, and this particular chapter that I was reading through, I went by a verse and I went right straight through it, kept on reading it, and the Spirit of God said, you missed something. And in my spirit I said, no, I didn't. I got it. Well, why aren't you going back there? Well, I want to read it. I want to finish the chapter. I said, I will go back there. And I did go back there. And I was shocked that when I was reading the scriptures in my quiet time, that God pointed something out in my life that I didn't even know was there until I read it. You see, when you're in a service like this, you can say, well, I bless God, I hope Mary gets it. Bless God, I hope Tim gets it. Bless God, I hope John gets it. Bless God, I hope Susie Q gets it. But when you're alone with God, you're the only one that's going to get it.
You're right.
And so we need that time alone with God to get what it is that God has for us so we can be in a right relationship. What have you seen of God lately in your Christian life? Secondly, what have you heard of God? What have you heard from God lately? I don't know about you, but I hear a lot of stuff. I'm to the place today where I don't even care to turn on the television and listen to the news. It's just the same old garbage over and over and over and over and over. And you know, after a while, when you start getting that trash in your life, guess what you start thinking? Trash. So you need to be in the Word of God so you overcome the things of the world, the trash of the world, whether it's the news or whatever else might be thrown in your direction as a Christian, because all of us have to deal with these things on a regular daily basis. But if we're in the Word, then we can understand that there are things in God's Word that will change our attitude about the world that we live in, because we're going to hear heavenly things. We're going to hear abilities to overcome the world, the flesh and the devil, as we heard this morning in Sunday school. We're going to be able to have the right relationship with what I have. When God convicts us as we're listening to the Word and we hear what God says to us about, do you know you have a sin in your heart against a brother or sister? You need to get that right. Or did you know that there's something that they are holding against you and you need to take care of that? There are things that God will tell us as individuals as we're in the Word that we may never get in a service for whatever reason. But when we're alone with God, we will hear what He has to say to us. And then, when was the last time God touched you? I'm so thankful that when I'm in the Word, I'm touched many times with many, many things. You might think a fellow who's retreated from the pastorate might not want to be involved in study of Scriptures, or might not be involved in preparation for Sunday school lessons, because I don't teach Sunday school on a regular basis where I am. Or, you know, whatever the case may be, you might think I'm just going to sit back and ho-hum. But I've discovered this. I still love getting in the Word of God.
Amen.
I still want to study the book. I still want to learn things.
Amen.
When I was in the pastorate, I was not the kind of pastor that went back and preached the same message every 3 or 4 years. I didn't do that on purpose. Number one, I needed to keep fresh. Number two, I wanted to learn things. And I couldn't learn things if I was doing the same thing over and over and over again. So I wanted to be fresh, and I wanted to keep learning. I wanted to keep growing. This book is such a gold mine of spiritual wealth that you and I could live 100 years and 100 lifetimes probably and still only scratch the surface. So there's a lot to learn. There's a lot for us to understand, a lot for us to hear from the Word of God and to apply to our lives and be touched by what we're reading. It's easy to declare what we have seen and what we have heard when we've experienced it. Amen? Why is it that so many Christians don't seem to want to get out and tell others about Jesus Christ? This is a thought for me, preacher. It's this. They haven't heard or seen anything from God lately. Because they've not been in the Word. They're not people of the book. They're not building a relationship with God that gives them a desire to go out and introduce unsaved people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But when you and I are in the Word and we hear from God and we're touched by that book, then we can go out and touch other people's lives with the gospel by the power of the Spirit of God living through us as a witness for Jesus Christ. Now that I'm retreaded from the pastorate, I've been doing some other things. Before I got saved, I wanted to be a professional baseball player. In fact, I had a contract with the St. Louis Cardinals to go into their farm system as soon as I graduated from high school. I had no idea about this. My father had set this up with a scout who had seen me playing one day. And so as soon as I was a graduate from high school, I was going to go into baseball. But God had other plans. Just before my senior year, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And within 3 months, I surrendered to preach. And after that, God just began to show me the things that He wanted me to do in my life, and I ended up being a preacher. Well, having realized what God wanted me to do in my life, I began to realize that my life was not my life to live as I wanted to live it, but it was God's life for me to live as He wanted me to live it. And that's true of all of us in this room. We all don't have to be preachers to know what God wants us to do with our lives. We all don't have to be missionaries. We don't have to be Christian educators. If you're a believer here today, God wants to use you where you are for His honor and His glory. And He wants you to listen to Him. He wants you to hear what He has to say. He wants to touch your life so you can touch the life of someone else. So after going into ministry and now being retreaded, and by the way, we moved to Canton, Georgia almost 12 years ago now because our daughter lost her husband to cancer. Bill was like our son, not our son-in-law. And God, for some reason, in His good providence, took him home early in our mind. But in God's mind, it was His time. It was His prepared day. And this man went home to be the Lord, and now he's having the blessings of being in the presence of Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Spirit. But at the same time, it was a great loss to us. And so we came here for the purpose of helping our daughter and their two sons. We'd already pretty much given up our ministry in San Francisco. We had a son who came to be an assistant. And today he's the pastor of the church, and it's doing quite well. But as we moved here, God opened the door for me to become an umpire. Now imagine this. I gave up baseball 46 years before that. God put me back there. This is now my ministry. I've had the joy of leading several of my umpires to Christ. I've had the joy of seeing other guys come to know God and get right with Christ. I've had the joy of leading young men to Christ, older men to Christ. I've had the joy of meeting many Christians. I give you one little simple example. The other night I was in a ball game, and I was in the field umpire, and the coach that I saw, a black man, was coming out for one of the teams as a coach, and I saw a cross on his chest. I thought, well, maybe it's an ornament. And I'm saying, Lord, how can I open a conversation with him to see if he's a believer or if that's just an ornament? And so God began to speak to me, and I said, okay, the next time between the half innings, I'm going to walk up to him. And the Lord put the word in my mouth, what I was supposed to say. And I said to him, I said, let me ask you a question. What does that cross mean to you? Oh, he said, that reminds me of my Savior. I said, are you a born-again Christian? He said, yes, I am. I said, well, brother, let me shake your hand because we're now brothers in Christ. And today, Martin is praying for me while I'm here. And I'm praying for Martin. You know, it's everywhere, folks, that we can be given an opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But we'll only do that if we hear from the Lord, if we've been touched by the Lord, if we see what God is not only doing in our lives, but what God can do through us as we yield ourselves to Him out of our quiet time. When I've preached to preachers, sometimes I've said to them, I said, you know, men, sometimes you're so busy serving God that you don't know what it is that God wants you to do. It's sort of like we spend our whole life baking God an apple pie, and then we get to heaven and find out God doesn't like apple pie. That's kind of a wasted life, isn't it? Well, how do we know that our life's not going to be wasted? By being in the Word of God. God's Word will show you what you're supposed to do. It does have the answers to life's issues. In fact, those of you who are fathers and grandparents, and I'm sure we're all here to some degree in that capacity, we're a grandparent or we're a parent, the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs can teach our children and our grandchildren how to live lives that would glorify God. Let's get them into the book. Let's share with them what God has shown us in our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so John is basically saying to the critics, we were there, but you were not. We were hurt, we heard, but you did not. We touched, but you did not. And when you have that opportunity to say to somebody, I've seen, I've heard, and touched, and been touched, you don't have to win any arguments. You've already won them. We need to just share what God has shown us. What are the blessings out of this kind of relationship? Well, the blessings of personal fellowship of the Father and the Son are the following. First of all, we have the love of Christ in us. 2 Corinthians 5:14. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the love of Christ in us. Love of Christ challenges me and commends me and encourages me to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. He died that all might be saved, for all have been lost. All are lost, all without Christ. And so the love of Christ comes out of that fellowship. We become partakers of the divine nature, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, all of a sudden there's a new thing that takes place in your life. You become a partaker of the divine nature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. That's Bible. You have the divine, a particular divine nature. That means you are now sensitive to holy things. That means you're sensitive to the mind of God, to the heart of God, to the mind of Christ, to the heart of Christ, to the mind of the Spirit, to the heart of the Spirit. You are now sensitive because you have become a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ, partakers of the divine nature. We also have inherited eternal life. It's interesting, I was reading my quiet time one day and I was thinking about this concept of having eternal life in Jesus Christ. And a lot of people have a little struggle with this. I don't have struggle with it because I think it's Bible, but one of the verses that I came across in my quiet time is Romans chapter 5, verse 10. And to put it simply, what it says here at the end of the verse, the life that I possess, the eternal life I have, is His life in me. He can't lose His life, can He? If He gave His life to me, I can't lose it either because it's His eternal life in me. Wow, what a tremendous verse. And I just really praise God for that out of my quiet time because I heard something, was touched by something that I had missed many times before. Even though I believe that I have eternal life, it's His eternal life in me. I don't have to do anything to get it. And I can't do anything to keep it, but it's His in me. I thank God for that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. This inheritance also makes it possible for us to fellowship with the Father and the Son through the person of the Holy Spirit. Before I was saved, I tried reading my Bible. I get spiritual every once in a while, you know, as a teenager. And I get spiritual, this feeling of spirituality. And so I'd try to go to the book, open to the Bible. And I did really good. I started the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and did really well until I came to 1 Chronicles. You know what's in 1 Chronicles, don't you? A lot of begats. I didn't even know what it meant to begat. That's how naive I was. I had no idea what begat meant. I just knew this is boring. And so I put it up. I said, that's not for me. Might be for somebody else, but that's not for me. So, you know, a couple years later, I began to feel a little spiritual again. I said, maybe I ought to go back to that Bible and see what's there. I think I'll try that New Testament thing this time. So I opened up the book of Matthew. Guess what the first chapter of the book of Matthew is all about? It's all about begatting again. And I thought, no, this isn't for me. And then my little half-sister was coming home, as I said in Sunday school this morning. She was coming home from DVBS. And she was telling us things about the Bible that we'd never heard. We'd say, Gail, where are you getting that stuff? Well, Dad, Mom, it's in the Bible. What do you mean it's in the Bible? Well, that's what they're teaching us at Daily Vacation Bible School. It's in the Bible. Now, my stepfather had vowed to never go back to church again because they didn't have the right clothes. We were poor. And he overheard some people in the denominational church they were attending. What are those people coming to our church for? Look at that suit. It's 25 years old. He never went back again. Well, he went back to the Calvary Baptist Church in Chillicothe, Illinois, out of curiosity to see what his daughter was being fed. We went as a family that next Sunday morning. When we left church, I remember Leonard saying to the pastor, Pastor, we want to join your church. I'm going, what? You never wanted to enter another church in your whole life. Something spoke to that man's heart. And I'll never forget Pastor Denzel Newman, little short guy, big old smile on his face. I mean, his face always had a smile on it. And you could just see the excitement of the Lord. And he said, well, Leonard, we'd be delighted to have you come and join us. But looking back now, we knew that we had to get saved first. We didn't know anything about that. He said, let me come by and visit you. So on July 20th, 1958, my mother and stepfather accepted Christ. They're in heaven. They're in heaven today. The next weekend, my half-brother and I accepted Christ. Both of us are in the ministry today. I thank the Lord for His saving grace. But I'm going to say this to you. You could never know the joy that that brings to you until you yourself are likewise involved in a daily time with God alone to get the fullness of that experience of coming to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So the more we cultivate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be seen in us. There's a verse of Scripture that has grabbed my heart over the last few years. It's Acts chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says that the religious leaders of Peter's day were looking at these new disciples, talking about Christianity, and they saw that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but there was something else that came out of their ignorance and out of their being unlearned. And by the way, the word ignorant doesn't mean what you might think it means. It doesn't mean they were stupid. It was just that they did not have the opportunity to have a formal education. And so they were unlearned and ignorant men. And then the verse goes on and says this. But they had seen that they had been with Jesus. Whoa. When I saw that verse, and God got a hold of my heart with that verse, I thought to myself, I need that. And ever since I first came across that verse and it touched my heart and my spirit, I've asked the Lord, Lord, please allow it that when people see me, they will see that I've been with Jesus. That ought to be our prayer. But let me say that if you don't spend time alone with God, people will never see Jesus in you. Oh, you can put on some kind of phony pretext. You can put on a temporary garment. But it's only as you and I are people of the book that the Lord Jesus Christ will really be evidenced out of everything in our life that we do. And people look at you and say, you know what? They may not be the best dressed. They may not be the most rich in the community. They may not be the most powerful in the community. But you know what? They walk with God and you see Jesus in them. That's the best kind of testimony you can have as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Well, thank you. We needed that. Say that again. All God's people said, amen. Hurrying along, last point. What are the benefits of this intimate fellowship? Well, when John presents this truth to these young Christians, he reminded them that fellowship with God will give you victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. If you were here in Sunday school, you caught that, amen? The world, the flesh, and the devil. That's our enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil, especially our flesh. But when you and I are in the book, when you and I are with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you let the Spirit of God speak to you through the Word of God, you will have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil because you'll see that they are defeated foes. The second thing we get out of time with the Lord in these areas, we'll begin to identify some voices. Everybody in this room hears voices. Did you know that, preacher? Everybody hears voices. You said, oh, now he's really gone off the rails. How many of you have self-talk? Self-talk. You talk about yourself. Come on, raise your hand. Everybody in this room has self-talk. Most of the time, your self-talk is what? Negative or positive? Negative. Oh, well, I can't do that. And I can't do this. And you know, I wish I had been this. Or I wish I'd... It's negative, isn't it? We start looking at ourselves and say, oh, woe is me. Oh, poor me. And that's what the devil uses to get our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you ever hear somebody say, well, there's so little that God could use of me that I could really never do anything. You ever hear anybody say that? Did you ever say that? You know what you just told me? You're full of pride. Wait a minute, Brother Ron. How can you be full of pride when you admit you can't do anything and God can't do anything with you? That's just the point. You said you're so bad God can't do anything with you. He didn't give you anything to use. That's pride in reverse. You see, God didn't create junk. He created you to be used for His honor and His glory. And when you come to realize that self-talk doesn't have to be negative, but it's positive because it's based on the Word of God, that'll change your attitude about your relationship with the Lord. Secondly, Satan's voice. How many ever had Satan come and attack you? I know you have. If you're any kind of a Christian at all, you've had the devil come to you and say, you know what? You're so bad, God could never use you. Do you remember what you did back over there? Nobody else knows, but God knows. You think God's going to use you and you've done that back over there? Do you see the struggle you're having right now, these so-called besetting sins that somebody's telling you about? You know what? As long as you have those besetting sins, you know that God can't use you. That's the devil's talk. Because you see, as a child of God, the devil doesn't want you to let God have control of your life. He wants you to sit in your miserable self right where you are, listening to your self-talk, and he'll take that self-talk and convince you that you're right about yourself. But the Word of God will say, no, my child, I didn't raise you to be that kind of a person. And then there's social talk. You know that PC crowd? Isn't it interesting how PC, social talk, has taken away our freedom of speech? I mean, think about this. Now, I believe there are some things that we as believers ought never say. There are some attitudes we ought never have toward other peoples and people groups. But the truth of the matter is, when you have a society that starts limiting your speech, they are slowly eroding your freedom of speech. And today, in America, that's one of the number one issues we are dealing with as believers. What is the subtle desire here? To take away our ability to present Christ publicly.
You're right.
Exactly what they're saying. They'll say, hey, you know what? Your religion's good for you, but keep it in the church house. Or keep it in your home. Don't bring it to school, and don't bring it to work, and don't go knocking on doors. And don't go telling people on the street about Jesus Christ, because that's not right. That's not socially acceptable. Newsflash, it's never been socially acceptable to be a Christian. Never has. Do you understand that? It's never been socially acceptable to be a Christian. In Jesus' day, they hated him because he wasn't socially acceptable. In the days of the first church, they rejected the early Christians because it wasn't acceptable socially. They killed them. They stole their property. They took them out of their homes. They made them go across the world to different places because they couldn't find jobs or have places to live because the world hated them. Their social life was not acceptable to society, to worldly society. So social talk. Don't worry about that. You just present Jesus. You tell people about Christ. Don't let the world take away the blessings that God wants you to have. So you have self-talk, you have Satan's talk, you have social talk. Blessed God, this is the one I hope you will listen to. The Spirit's talk. The voice of the Spirit. But I share with you again that that will never happen until you and I practice 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And have fellowship with God the Father and God the Son through His Holy Spirit and the Word of God. There it is. If you're living a defeated Christian life today, the answer is get in the book. If you're struggling with sin in your life today, the answer is get into the book. If you're struggling with relationships today, then get into God's Word and let God's Spirit show you what's wrong in your life that He can correct it and He can give you victory over it so you have a right relationship with people that you're in contact with on a day-to-day basis. But even more importantly, that you can have a right relationship with God the Father. Let's bow our heads in prayer.